Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
267.
267.
Hey, Scotty, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, pretty good.
Good.
Had a very rough night.
Oh, how so?
Oh, had a good day at work and then went and hung out with friends and did some things I haven't done for a while. That's code that you'll understand. And realized why I don't do them.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was sticking a pinky toe in the water as far as consumption, and it didn't matter.
Wow.
Really didn't matter.
Wow.
Good for about 5 minutes, and then about 4 hours of not bad, just really wanting to be prone. So, came home about 5 a.m, just woke up.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, gotta do what you gotta do, I suppose, to stay sane.
Yeah, and I feel fine. I'm happy about that.
That's good. You certainly got enough energy drinks to get you through anything resembling a hangover, so.
Yeah, I'm not, this is, yeah, hangover free.
Oh, gotcha.
Although I was having that too, which was a problem. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, doing well. Job's going okay.
Good.
I managed to, last weekend, we had to actually fail jobs and ask for extensions because it was just crazy town. This week, a little less crazy, but I managed all the rescues myself without asking for input. Got everybody home. We've lost, well, and with the person that I believe is going to be gone after today, we've lost 13 people in 2 weeks.
Oh, geez.
And Amazon put a hiring freeze on.
Oh, geez.
And upped all our routes. So we're struggling a little bit to figure out how everything's going to happen. But,
damn.
Yeah, it's going well, so that's good. How about you?
What's new with you? My weeks were pretty good. So we have continued on creating new content for the channel, the Your Lame Friends channel. Now, if you go to yourloserfriends.com, it will automatically direct you to our Your Lame Friends YouTube. Also, if you go to watch.yourlamefriends.com, it'll automatically direct you to our YouTube. So,
nice.
We're just setting up for like some kind of metadata push, you know, eventually once we kind of figure out what we've got in terms of target. Let's see. Yesterday was interesting. I put in an audition late Friday for a T-Mobile thing and and Melissa asked me if I was available for a callback yesterday morning. And I was like,
nice.
Yeah, I'm available for a callback. Yeah. I was like, cool, callback. I hope I book it. So the casting director called me and we did two takes. With a couple of extra takes for some of the smaller lines. And he said he was going to run it by his producer. And so I asked Melissa, okay, you know, am I good to go do my weekend or do I need to stick around? And she's like, oh, stick around for a bit. I was like, okay, cool. So I'm waiting. And then she releases me. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, dang, I wish I'd booked it. But hey, thanks for, you know, thanks for letting me know and doing this work on a Saturday. No, that was the recording session. So, like, I booked it and recorded it in that one little tiny bit. So that was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so
I did the same audition.
Yeah, I'm hoping that... So they changed the script for the callback. I'm assuming legal made them change the script because it was a very... It is an acerbic. Antagonistic... Yes, it is an antagonistic acerbic ad. So I'm sure that legal was like, okay, we need to tone it down here and here. That being said, it remains potent in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm hoping, I don't know if it's an ad or if it's internal. If it's an ad, I can't wait to see it. If it's internal, I never will. So,
yeah, I hope still. That it's an ad as well.
Yeah. If it's an ad, it's going to be national, which is awesome. So fingers crossed. Yeah. Apart from that, almost everything I've been doing has been focused on getting the new YouTube content stuff up and running and then keeping my work life running because it's a whole thing. Apart from that, I'm just waiting for my new phone to show up. For those who don't know, I busted my phone screen by slamming it in a drawer accidentally. This was months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been months. I was kind of able to use it for a while, and so I just didn't care. And continued to kind of be able to use it. And now it's at the point where I can't. It's unusable. I can't answer calls. And there's a few other things that the screen's just no longer responding for. So I was like, okay, got to do this. So I ordered a new phone a couple weeks ago. It shipped on Tuesday. And it shipped with OnTrack. And I don't know... how many times on the podcast? It's more than one, but fewer than five. I have complained about OnTrack, so we're gonna add one to the pile. They are the worst fucking shipping company. DHL is better than OnTrack. DHL in the U.S. is better than OnTrack. OnTrack is terrible. And sure enough, guaranteed delivery never even got put on the truck. Guaranteed delivery is meaningless, by the way. It's just marketing speak. They don't guarantee anything. Nobody. The only person who could initiate anything would be Google. In this case, since they sent my phone, Google could initiate a complaint to potentially get a refund to their corporate account. But I, as the person receiving, can't do anything, and they don't care because they've already shipped it. So as long as it doesn't get lost, Google's not going to care. So I'm just sitting here like in awe of how bad they continue to be. I feel like if you miss a guaranteed delivery, if there's no Saturday delivery, they should immediately upgrade it to that. And it should be on whatever the next truck that goes out is. They don't subscribe to that. You pay for ground, you get ground, just deal with it. And again, guaranteed is meaningless. So now I'm waiting. And if I have to jump up to go answer the door, know that that is why. I complained to them on Twitter and nobody responded to me, but suddenly Sunday delivery was okay. And they put it on a truck this morning. So that's interesting. But yeah, basically, I don't think I've ever had a delivery from OnTrack that has been on time, nor do I think I've ever had a delivery from OnTrack that hasn't required some sort of customer service intervention. I think the last time I got a new phone, I don't remember. I think that was UPS, right? Or no, that was FedEx. Where did we end up going? We ended up going to a, I think it might have been UPS. We ended up going to a UPS center to get it because they kept screwing up the delivery on it.
No, it was FedEx. It was the FedEx and FedEx. Federal Way.
Okay, FedEx and Federal Way then.
Because we couldn't find the damn place.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I guess this one's not as bad as that, but with that one, they put in the wrong address. The Google Map API that Google uses incorrectly grabbed my address and overrode the one that was, legitimately in my account. I went back and double checked and my address was correct in the account and everything. Their system just went ahead and said, nah, that's not the address. This is the address. And, assign that to the phone. So, you know, that one was more problematic, but it wasn't as much the shipper's fault. Whereas with OnTrack, it's always the shipper's fault, in my experience. Yeah, but that's about it. Everything else has just been that slow crawl toward getting to the holidays, you know, the working so much so that you can have a couple days off kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. I have been trying unsuccessfully. I figured, what the hell, I will... I'll try to get a PS5 if I can, just to see if, you know, if I can. It's not happening, and I don't really even care. If I happen to stumble across one, like at a Target, I'll grab it, but it's really low priority for me. This console generation is really low priority for me, so. But that's about it, apart from work.
Is that a good or bad thing that it's low priority?
I don't think it's either. I think that this generation is going to kind of be a crucible, and it's going to determine where video gaming moves going forward. I am not interested in a games as a service world. I do, you know, I subscribe to Game Pass, but those games are still games, and they come down and they're complete, and you can play them, and that's it. That's not the way the world is going. The world is moving more toward every game as a service. Every game is a subscription. It's like, you know, everything is going to be a comic book series that you buy into moving forward. And if you don't buy an episode, you miss out, you know? So, not my thing. The very, very specific features released this console generation are also, I think, too young. They released ray tracing before ray tracing was truly ready to be released. If they would have held the generation for another 2 years, I think they would have been in better shape for that. I think that Switch is going to come out with a new, higher-powered version of the Switch in, like, quarter one of next year. That's going to be the thing that blows everything away. So I'm just not because the consoles are no longer differentiating in any substantial way from PC. There's not as much of an issue. There's not as much of an incentive to get a console right now.
Right.
I don't have a 120 hertz display. That is where they're pushing. They want everybody to be on board with 120 hertz. I'm still waiting for them to get 4K 60 hertz down, and they still haven't. And they're already jumping to 120 and failing at that terribly. So from that standpoint, it's just nothing in this generation is exciting yet. And the things that are exciting, I don't need this generation to play. So Miles Morales, I can play on my PS4. That, you know, and I mean, it's going to look better on a PS5. Of course, it's going to look much better on a PS5. But there's not an exclusive on a PS5 that I can't experience. And, you know, I'm usually about the writing in a game. In modern games, I'm about the writing or the story. I'm going to experience that just fine on a PS4. So, I would say it's not a bad thing either way, but ultimately, I think it might be signaling my departure from gaming on consoles as a practice, unless something magical happens.
Copy. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about it. Gearing up for COVID giving, where I think that we're going to try and get just, you know, a small turkey. Like we're basically going to downsize Thanksgiving and just have a personal Thanksgiving with, you know, Aaron, Michael, and I. So we're sort of prepping for that, you know, doing the cleaning and stuff that we need to do so that Wednesday night, nobody's freaking out that we're not ready to go the next day, which would be me. Normally, one of the Thanksgiving traditions I have is getting up a little too late Thursday morning, and then having to spend a good 2 extra hours cleaning because I put it off and put it off. So hopefully this year it's a little bit easier. Everything's also downscaled. It should be a little bit easier in that respect. So everything should take a little less long to cook. So yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to having the time off too, but for the most part, at this point, just kind of getting by, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, I don't know what you've been watching. I've been watching Mando, of course. I'm not holding on that one to binge. I'm just watching it as it comes out. It's been quite an interesting little romp. I really liked the last episode a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot. It had a Lovecraftian bent to it, sort of, because of where they were. And, yeah, I really liked the last episode.
Nice.
Plus, you got to, yeah, there's a whole Baby Yoda squealing with joy as he's being thrown around when the ship is flying. That's always fun when that happens. Yeah. How about, have you been watching anything new or seen anything new?
Well, I started watching the Nick Frost.
Yes, Truth Seekers.
I did find it funny. But I just found that I wasn't in the right vein for that. Mm. And so because I liked it, I didn't want to push through it not being in that particular headspace.
Yeah, totally.
So I ended up binging Queen's Gambit, which is a great little limited series.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I was supposed to watch, was the Adam Sandler. I was trying to think what the other thing I said I was going to watch for this podcast was. And I failed miserably. But I did watch the new Borat. Still don't know why people like Borat. I mean,
oh boy.
Some of the stuff was funny and some of it was just like, wow, really?
Yeah, yeah. I have not watched it yet. Obviously, I've seen all of the memes and all of that garbage going around. And I don't mean garbage in terms of, like, quality of the movie. I just mean, like, memes are garbage, you know? So I've seen those kind of flying around. Basically, I get it, but I really only get it, like, I really only get it in 2006, 2007. I don't get it in 2020, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I don't think that... I don't know. And this is me saying that having not watched it. Maybe I need to give it a shot. But me having not watched it, it just seems unnecessary right now. Because it's not changing anyone's mind. There are no gotchas that are going to get, that are really going to get anybody in any meaningful way. Nobody that supports Rudy Giuliani cares whether or not he's adjusting a mic pack or actually trying to whip his dick out. The people who hate him are just going to assume one versus the other. From what I've seen, it does look like he is literally adjusting his mic pack like a PA told him, Can you go ahead and fit your mic pack? And they just got it on film and decided to use it because of the way he did it. And if he didn't, it's not a surprise either. None of this is shocking, but none of it is going to change anybody's mind at all, because we're so entrenched right now with the whole two sides thing that, worst case scenario, it's just going to make people like him more for the wrong reasons. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know if I want that kind of hyper negativity right now, because it does feel like that's all it's going to be. It's just hyper negativity. I've also not watched the new the new Animaniacs. I've been wanting to, but I haven't yet. Yeah. So I guess we should probably get to some questions. Sound good?
Yes.
All right. Last podcast, we asked, what do you think will be the most bonkers thing that will happen in the next 13 weeks, USA or anywhere in the world? Oh, my God, were we not ready for the actuality of this? Everything you guys said is so milquetoast compared to how this time played out. I mean, the Four Seasons total landscaping thing, mm-hmm. Rudy Giuliani dripping black oil. Like, this has been so much more gigantic alligators showing up. This has been so much more bonkers than I would have believed if you told me right after the last podcast, oh yeah, these are the things that I think will happen. I would have been like, ha, oh, that's cute. That would be weird. No, it happened, and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
So Dougie Sharp writes, a Hallmark movie called A COVID Christmas. I mean, that's so tied to reality that if that doesn't happen, I'll be surprised, to be yeah. honest. It'll be a Hallmark movie with Zoom meetings. But in the end, love will shield them, and they'll come together as a family anyway. And they'll never, ever address that grandma got sick and died.
True. Yeah. Casey Lee writes, in week one, I think we will have a trend of listening to scientists and doctors while ignoring raving space cadets with addictions to amphetamines. In week six, keto ramen will be invented, and it will result in people being far thinner. Also,
I think
lowering the tapeworm population.
Oh, yeah.
Week 12, the dancing in the streets will end as people like me will remember we can't dance.
Yep.
And week 13, Biden will enter the White House, and to celebrate this day, we will all eat pudding and Werther's Originals. I can get behind that celebration.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think you need to wait till week 13. Just start that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so week one, nope, nobody listened to anybody. Week six, there is keto ramen, and you should go try it. It's fantastic. Everything else, yeah. I think we're still up for debate on that. We'll see how it goes. Rob McLennan writes, I'm hoping that it's Trump running for the hills before the transition of power because he's got a dozen losing lawsuits on his back and criminal charges pending. I'm fearing that it will be an event like the like in the movie Bushwick. He's not running for the hills. He's now they're basically trying to out-lawsuit the lawsuits to make sure that his laws basically at this point, I think they're just trying to squeak loud enough to try and get that, that immediate presidential pardon on the plate as a bargaining tool. So they can say, you know what, we'll stop all this. If you agree to pardon everybody, that's what I see kind of happening. I mean, I think they do still legitimately want to steal the election, but I think that's becoming less and less of a possibility with every passing day.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I do think that the pardon is now what they're really focusing on wanting.
Yeah, so. I've been trying to catch up on my Bill Maher, and it's been surreal watching. I think I stopped before October 16th. So watching all of his, as we get close to the election, all the things that I know now that they were talking about were things that all fell into place. And, it's very scary, with the potential of assigning, the Electoral College votes through Republican, state Republican houses in Congress, as opposed to the will of the popular vote, because it is not constitutionally set, except in a few states, how
electors elect.
Yeah. And I think that they're trying to use this, you know, the scam, the fraud, the illegitimacy as fodder to get their base in enough of an uproar to get their elected officials to go, hey, this is a Republican state, not a Democratic state, and we want we don't think that Georgia should go blue. Mm-hmm. We need it to go red. I believe that's the next push, is to try to fuck with the college.
Well, I mean, that's already happening. You have Trump inviting people who control the electors in was it Wisconsin or Minnesota, or one of those states that is blue. He's inviting the people who choose the electors to the White House to try and get them to not choose the electors their people chose. Mm-hmm. And so the problem is, it does go against most of these state constitutions. The state constitutions are usually written that the winners of either districted voting or popular vote in the state get the popular vote. And then a few states have it. It's whatever the national popular vote is. They give their electoral votes to whichever candidate won the national popular vote.
Mm.
But no states legally allow no states legally allow the state to overturn the electors' commitment to their populace if the population chose the other candidate. Mm-hmm. And they don't also have an overriding thing that says, yes, but if the national popular vote wins. And only Democratic states have a rule that says if the national popular vote goes a different way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the popular vote tends to, oddly enough, support Democrats more often.
Mm.
But, you know, the whole Electoral College is broken. There's a lot of propaganda out there right now trying to bolster the Electoral College in people's minds. There are a couple of like Prime Video movies dedicated to it. I've seen a number of think pieces about it. They all trace back to Focus on the Family or Libertarians United, or, you know, these other groups that are 100% benefited by the Electoral College. So
right.
It is funny to see that their spending is now massively increasing to try and garner support for this system we've now watched break in our lifetimes four times, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But, well, and this leak leads into the next one, if you want to read it.
Yep. James Peters says, depressingly, I think it will be Trump launching a military coup and more people backing him than not. I am just not convinced there will be a peaceful transition. Parenthetical. Though I wasn't convinced Biden would win the election, so I'm glad to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I I mean, we're seeing all of the fingerprints of that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
The good news is those people that have been fired and replaced with cronies are all civilian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not yet
military. Yeah.
The actual military.
Yeah.
Where those people, anyone in the military would be refusing a direct order. But the more that I'm watching on things with mm-hmm. people in the know, the more it seems like, no, even if things were done, there's enough dislike down the chain.
Yeah.
That it would be a far cry, not impossible, but a far cry for that to happen. And I really hope that that is true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you spend 4.5 years disparaging Gold Star families and openly mocking the military, they're probably not going to coup for you all that much.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you going to do? This week, I had an idea for a question. Pardon me.
Careful. It must be a good one.
Yesterday, I got something stuck in my throat. I don't know what, but it felt very sharp and clingy. It's gone now, but the throat irritation is still there. And so I'm just coughing randomly. But like, yeah, whatever it was physically tore up my throat. So it's not like a sickness. It's just actual scratches. I don't, I have no idea what it was. I didn't eat anything like that yesterday. The only thing I can think of is I had a granola bar from Nature Valley. Now, if you don't know what a granola bar from Nature Valley is, it is, it's essentially a particle board with honey in it. And the, like, it's dry. It's very dry. They're super, super dry, but it's the only thing I can think of. And it hung around. I could not get it out. I was hacking. I was coughing. I was doing that hard exhale stuff all night. And all it did was scratch up my throat. So sorry about that cough, folks. Anyway, as I was saying, I have a question, unless you have an idea as well. And then we can sort of ask them both and figure out what the best one is. But
I do not right now.
Okay. My question is the low-hanging fruit question, which is, how are you spending your Thanksgiving now that we're all on lockdown 2.0 or lockdown 2 Electric Avenue, as a lot of us like to call it? I've already given my sort of what I'm doing. I know that a lot of people are probably going to risk smaller family gatherings, which isn't great, but it's better than large ones. And then I'm guessing a bunch of people out there 100% going to have even larger family gatherings this year because, you know, they don't believe in science. But how are you folks going to be spending your, what's a good word? COVID giving's not great. Anthrax giving would be amazing, but we, yeah, it's not anthrax.
Corona giving.
That just sounds like a beer exchange, like Secret Santa getting sloshed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fuck it. Everybody's answer is now Corona giving, and it's literally you just exchange beer by mail. Done. No, but what are you folks gonna do? I'm a little curious, because I'm trying to maintain like sort of a traditional thing. I'm definitely gonna watch, you know, all of the Harry Potters like I do around Thanksgiving every year. I'm just not gonna be booking out to my cousins and getting a bunch of leftovers from like 5 different places this year. Apart from that, I think it's not going to change too much.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I have Thursday off unpaid from Amazon because they don't do paid holidays.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I have one less day off because I'll be working Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, dad's older, and as much as I'd want to go down, and he called and asked if I wanted to come down, I was just like, I have one day off, and
yeah.
So, no, let's punt till Christmas.
Yes. Well, fingers crossed, patron Saint Dolly Parton funded a vaccine that is looking very good. So I'm hoping that, you know, by summer of next year, a good portion of the population is going to have been vaccinated and we're mm-hmm. not going to have this again. But it sounds like a number of vaccine candidates are really doing the rounds right now. So I'm hopeful. I'm finally hopeful again, you know?
Yeah. So, totes cool. McGoats. We are into questions now. Okay.
Yeah. Let's get your questions for us. I think I have the next one. It's mm-hmm. Casey Lee, who writes, if the two bards had a dance off, oh dear God, no. What music would you use? And who wants a dance off? Well, obviously I'm going to use CNC Music Factory and or House of Pain because I am a white dude. And those are the only two common musical groups that really get white people out on the dance floor. I guess Cotton Eye Joe does, but that's just sad.
I am going with the all-time white classic, the Peanuts theme song.
See, that's a dangerous dance, dude. Like
it's way left and right. I dance like the Twins
hinge,
dance,
man. Their next hinge. Oh, okay. You're not doing the Pigpen dance.
No,
because that's gotta be. A spinal nightmare. His head just flops forward. Yeah, that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the nice thing about the Peanuts dance is you basically just get to pick whatever you want, and also nobody's too close to each other, which is a great way to dance, in my opinion.
True.
And who wants dance off?
No, nobody.
Peter Quill, and that's about it.
Yeah. Rival Guy asks, are there any changes to how films are made resulting from the pandemic that you want to see retained post-vaccine?
Not really.
No.
Not really at all. The all of the stuff that we're doing right now to keep sets safe, the stuff that I want retained should have already been happening. You know, everybody should be washing their hands when they handle food and stuff like that. That should have been happening. I'm not saying it has, but, you know, that's not a new rule. That's something that has been observed forever and ignored forever. As far as anything else, no, I hate doing makeup in the COVID world. I hate it. The makeup chair for me is like a really important part of being on set. If you're in a position where you get makeup applied, it's a very important part of being on set. It's the last moment of zen you usually have before the chaos. It is so nerve-wracking right now to be in a makeup chair during COVID, because, you know, all of the old rules are there. Don't reuse sponges, which obviously, I mean, like Scott and I have literally seen that violated firsthand. Mm-hmm. And we will not work with those people, you know, but that was pre-COVID. So, like, you know, don't reuse stuff, blah, blah, blah. But having that face mask, because every hair makeup person I have worked with since this started has the full face shield when they do makeup. And the full face shield is a pain in the ass because, like, they have to get close to, like, especially your hairline and things like that to make sure that they're blending right. And so, like, I've been hitting the face with the mask. There's a lot of hold still while I get my magnifying mirror and then do some fucking Aziz light shit with it, you know, to try and get an angle on it. There's an inherent intimacy to makeup. It's not anything like an emotional intimacy or anything like that. It's just literally a physical space intimacy with makeup that is a pain in the ass right now. So I don't want that. I don't want to check in at every station I go to ever again. This is terrible. The worst thing, though, hands down, the worst thing is being alone when you're in holding or the green room. That sucks. Part of being on set is interacting with people. And you are put in a room alone while you're waiting. You're just put in a room alone. So, no, I don't think there's anything, like, at all. Okay, the one thing I could say maybe that would be worth keeping is, like, no, not even that. I, like, because I've never seen a set with, like, just giant open bowls of nuts or something for people to grab. So that's not an issue, but.
Oh, I have.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure they're out there too. And I'm sure the cheaper the set gets, the more likely it becomes. Because,
well, and I don't mind there being a big jar of M&Ms.
Costco, Kirkland. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's a good point. It's the same thing. Yeah. That's
remember, COVID is airborne. It is not. If someone coughs on the M&Ms and you eat them, you will not get COVID because it's going into your stomach. End of story. They have proven COVID is not transmittable through foodstuffs.
Yeah, I get that. But you have to understand a lot of these precautions. Well, first of all, that should just be something that you expect from craft services, is if someone coughs in a bowl of M&Ms, those M&Ms
go replaced.
Away.
Yes.
But that's without COVID. But a lot of these rules, particularly the union rules, went into effect when we still didn't know exactly what COVID was. So they just tried to stop all contagion vectors.
Yep.
The thing is, none of them are something I want to see continue, regardless of how COVID transmits or not. None of them are anything I really want to see continue, because I find them to be
they're isolationist only, which is exactly what that is a great way to stop the spread of COVID. Wear masks, stay away from each other. Fantastic. Good on you. But it does make SET a more difficult place to be. So no, I definitely don't want social distancing once the crisis is over. I want the opposite of social distancing, which I guess would be antisocial closening.
Something like that. Yeah.
Just being around a bunch of people you don't like. Yeah. Film sets. I'm trying to think of a single one of these regulations that I want. And I can't. I think it's because film sets were already so built around being welcoming and not being terrible places for the most part. This isn't in general, obviously. Your director can fuck all that up. But what I mean is, like, as a concept, a set is generally, you know, you talk about your set family. You go to set, mm-hmm. and, oh, you're my family today. And, you know, so I don't think any of the new regulations have brought anything that makes anyone safer outside of this very specific pandemic. You know, I don't think that anything plugged a hole that was there that needs to remain plugged, just out of the current, you know, just out of those specific regulations. So no, my answer is no, I don't want to see any to remain.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I just want to go back to normal with, you know, like you said, common sense stuff about, hey, this is a new reality. Great. Mm-hmm. Let's do this as safely as we can do this and get back to as much of what we used to do as we can. And that's it.
Yep. Yep. Where are we at? Rob McLennan writes, have either of the bards seen the Netflix series Paranormal? It's an Egyptian horror series dubbed in English that doesn't do the typical Hollywood blood and gore. I have heard of it. I have not seen it, unfortunately. I may go give that a look today, actually.
Yeah, I have not seen it either. And I'm not a big horror fan, so I may check it out, but probably won't watch the whole thing.
Let's split the next one up from James. I'll ask the four Scott one and then you ask the four Andy one. How about
perfect.
That?
Perfect.
All right. So these are both from James Peters. For Scott, what is the best way to give feedback on solve problematic Amazon deliveries? For example, when an item is marked as delivered directly to resident, yet no one has come by the house all day.
So, Amazon is not in control of the idiot drivers. Or the lazy drivers, or the drivers that just don't care.
All of those are Scott.
All of that is DSP dependent. And I can say that I try to hold our drivers to the same work ethic that I have. The problem is we need people to drive. And mm-hmm. if I'm nitpicking them all the time, then they quit. And then when they quit, we can't afford to have me as a dispatcher and I have to go back out and drive. So the best way is to just follow through with Amazon directly. Every time that a package is delivered, you get the little, if you use the app, you get the little, how did we do? And mm-hmm. you can directly provide feedback. That all trickles down to the DSPs. Now that I'm in dispatch and Kyle's informing me more of what's going on because I'm doing half and half, we're starting to get the breakdowns of what all those metrics are and what Amazon cares about, which is usually shit that doesn't matter because on those little forms, it is proven that if you give someone an opportunity to give feedback, the feedback by and large will be negative because, oh, I'm happy I got this. Awesome. No one by and large mm-hmm. uses that as something to do, but by God, if that tape is not stuck to that box, and someone going to hear about it. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to use that as a driver metric. Now, a lot of us get positive feedback because, you know, if I see someone, I try and say, you know, hey, have a good day, you know, thanks, whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of the drivers are just like, here's your shit and leave. But calling support is, and following that guideline is the best way. It does trickle down to the drivers, whether it changes or not, who mm-hmm. knows. The other thing that is, like this problem here, is no one has come by the house all day. If someone has marked it delivered directly to resident, you may or may not get a notification. B, how do you know no one has come by the house all day? And C, someone could have taken the package. I get a lot of DNRs, which is did not receive. I don't have 100% all the time. And that means that a certain percent of my packages are either being lied to by the customer as not being received, or someone's stealing them. Because I take a picture every time. Every time I put the package on the porch. So there are times when your phone is running the battery down and charging it, uncharging, charging, uncharging is just not an option. We will tell our drivers, leave the rabbit plugged in, deliver everything to resident so that they can scan it in the car. They can leave the phone in the car. They can say, deliver directly to resident, yes, and then go drop it on the porch. That would be an acceptable use of that pattern. Otherwise, it's not acceptable, and your best bet is just to either call support. I've done that. I have called and watched as the delivery is approaching the house, and then it says, oh, unable to deliver, and I immediately called them up to say, hi, I'm an Amazon driver. That driver did not use the call box. That call box calls my cell phone. I have not missed any calls. I am in a perfectly reasonable cell reception area, and I really need that driver to go back and drop it off. And they did. Of course, I was in a restaurant, missed the phone call at that time. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, that's the very long roundabout answer to that. Call support.
Yeah.
Turn it off and turn it on again.
Nice.
Oh, and the second half for Andy, how far did you get in the process of coming up with a joke about Amazon deliveries being problematic by the time the first part of this question was read out? Did it involve the phrase creating a boxic work environment?
No, it did not. No, didn't involve that phrase. My issue with the problem, I guess, is that I also worked for Amazon, and I've been a long time Amazon customer. Amazon has never been my issue. So it's always the to the door piece of it that's a problem. So either the contracted drivers or, you know, just general issues with the third party services like UPS, USPS, FedEx. USPS has been consistently, until this year, surprisingly, has been consistently the my preferred to the door service, just because I've had a lot of problems where I was at the time with the contractors that Amazon chose for like the West Seattle area. We had a number of drivers at that time who were I don't even know if they had a centralized hiring company for them or if they were just allowed to be independent contractors directly for Amazon. This would have been, you know, 2-3 years ago in the West Seattle area. But they were definitely problematic in that they didn't do their jobs, or I'd get a notification that my package was delivered, and they just scanned everything when they first went on shift. And so I still didn't get the package for like 3 hours. That's happened to me a number of times. And I know it happens accidentally sometimes too. I know that sometimes you'll a driver can grab the wrong item, scan it, and then have to take it back. And I'm guessing that over time, the tools have evolved to handle that, but I'm guessing up front they didn't have that contingency built into them. So, you know, if you accidentally scanned an item 3 hours before you were going to deliver it because you grabbed the wrong thing out of the back and scanned it and then realized it and had to put it in the back, you know, that would be a situation where that might happen. And so I've always dealt with this at that end. So I don't really automatically formulate jokes about that. But when I do hear Amazon, I formulate things like Amazon, A to me about Jeff Bezos, you know, or because honestly, Amazon is a company I have very few issues with. It's the concept of billionaires that I have issues with. I think Amazon is a great model for getting goods to people. I just don't like the fact that one guy gets everybody's profit, you know, all the profits people generate go to this one guy who then uses it to buy our city council and tell them what they're going to do or how they're going to vote on taxes and stuff. So most of my jokes have nothing to do with the people who work at Amazon. They're all specifically targeted at the large glob sitting at the top of the pile. So,
yeah. And I mean, there's definitely jokes about efficiency and such, but I can't fault anything about Amazon as a customer. I can't fault anything about Amazon. It's great. I can look up what I need. It's usually cheaper than any place else, and I usually get it in 2 days.
Yep. And because they are customer focused, they've forced other companies to have better customer service. That pendulum had swung so far the other way. Where, you know, when we were kids, the concept of the customer was always right. That was a real concept. Like, people actually, you know, and it's not a good, I'm going to say straight up, that is a bad outlook. The customer is always right is bad for a number of reasons. You know, one is you can't write anything in stone because a lot of the times the customer is an asshole. But it swung so hard the other direction where, I don't know, you probably remember this, because you've built so many PCs, but remember trying to get support from Tiger Direct?
Oh my God.
Jesus. Like, it's not happening, and everything is going to take 2 weeks to do anything, right? Like, there was a time period from the early aughts to, you know, just a few years ago where that pendulum had swung so far, it was essentially caveat emptor was the only thing you had going for you. Like, everything, every customer service program was busted. They did all of the heavy outsourcing. They used scripted call centers. And that's not to say that's not still a piece of it, but companies like Amazon have pushed the customer focus of the entire industry back a little more in line with you know, something good. So I would argue that Costco is the one stoic stalwart of customer service. They have never wavered. They've always been just amazing for their customer service, but the rest of the world definitely was going in a direction that had to be course corrected, or because it was so anti-consumer. And
Nordstrom.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
You could take a Kmart branded shirt back to Nordstrom and say, I don't like this. And they would give you a Nordstrom shirt.
I mean,
because
they
felt strong enough that, hey, they probably don't like that shirt, and we're confident that if we give them this shirt,
they're going to wear it
and they're going to want to buy another one.
Yep. But for this type of business, especially like the online shopping arena, customer service was non-existent until Amazon basically made it the gold standard. So
mm-hmm.
I will not complain about the company or the people who work there, apart from their dev leads are harsh. Their dev leads are very, very much about mining what they can out of people, regardless of the person, regardless of how it damages that person. But overall, the people who work for Amazon are people. They're just people, you know, they're people trying to do their thing and they want to be proud of the work they do. As with most giant corporations, the issue is not the entity itself. The issue is how we allow, hoarding money in the country. So that's where most of my jokes are going to be levied. Now if Jeff Bezos starts delivering packages directly, you better believe, you know, the last thing I want to see is Jeff Bezos' dick on my ring. So,
yeah.
See, that's multi-layered because he got those pictures stolen and he was blackmailed with them and he owns Ring and they're a surveillance company. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this week's podcast. So without much further ado, but maybe a little, huge thanks to our Patreon patrons, James Peters,
Leslie Sedlak,
Laura Red Scott,
Stuart Hume,
Brad Roberts,
Rob McLennan,
Rival Guy,
Jennifer Reifenberry,
Seth M. Davis,
Casey Lee,
Hawk Robinson,
Jay Blanken,
Dougie Sharp,
Bo Pritchard,
Gordon D. Duke,
and Lotta Jerf.
Thank you all so much, and here's hoping we can all find something like golf to take our minds off of the next 11 weeks.
And happy Thanksgiving or whatever.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to everybody but Rob McLennan.
And Lotta.
Oh, yeah, and Lotta. You guys. Well, Rob especially, though, because he got to celebrate it. He got to celebrate it when restrictions were lifted. We're on to you, McLennan. We're on to you.